Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Will you help me welcome our campuses, Prosper, Dallas, and Louisville? Will you help me put your hands together for them, please? Thank you, everybody. Thank you, all of you, for being here. We appreciate it. Thank you, Pastor G-Lane, Pastor Matt, and Pastor Ron, for your faithfulness in ministry. We love you guys. Thanks for serving here faithfully. All right, we're going to read. We have three passages of scripture today. We're going to hang out first in Romans chapter 7. Then we're going to move to Daniel chapter 6. And then we're going to read a little bit in Galatians chapter 6. That's where we're going to hang out, today. So why don't you stand and let's read the word of the Lord, please, if you don't mind. Let's see what God has to say to us on today. Look at your neighbor and say, there's a word for you today. I thought this was going to be a three-part series, but now it's going to be a six-part series. Today is part five, okay? God bless your soul. And the more you ask questions, the more I have a little more nuance to communicate on decision-making. We've been talking about how to make wise decisions in this next decade, and so in light of that, I want to tee up a concept, one simple concept that I think will be revolutionary for you. The concept is who before what. Say that with me twice. Who before what. One more time. Who before what. That's the principle. That's it. It don't make sense to you now, but it will. One more time. Who before what. Here we go. Romans chapter 7 says this. Read it with me, everybody. For I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I like to do, but I am doing. You need any more? The thing you don't want to do, that you do. The thing you want to do, you never get around to doing it. There it is. Well, you make decisions every day, and those decisions that you're making, you're still doing the stuff you don't want to do. But your decision making is not helping you do the stuff that you know you should do and that your heart really want to do. We got a problem. We got a problem. Next verse. Go to verse number 18, I think. Here we go. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing. The doing of the good thing, I can't muster myself to do it. But the doing of the bad thing, it's like I just run toward it. Why does this happen in my life? Is it just me, or is there anybody else in here? All the campuses, let me hear. Anybody else? Just wave your hand if that's true for you. That's true for you. Okay, look around. If the person beside you ain't waving their hand, point them out. Put your hands straight up. Straight up. Straight. Okay. All right. You come here. I'm going to make you name yours in a minute. Everybody go and confess today. Because in this church, we admit our flaws. Ain't nobody have to tell us about our flaws. We know them. So you're going to call yours out in a minute. But be careful, because the person beside you might not say theirs just to listen to yours. Which means you're doing the thing you shouldn't be doing anyways. Come here. Next verse. For the that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil. The good thing I want. I want to save some money, but I keep buying purses. Easy. It's too early. You're still standing. Somebody might throw something up here. Okay, last verse. Here we go. Just read this first phrase. Just this first phrase right here. Go. Thanks be to God through
Jesus Christ.
Somebody need to have some good news in here. Lord have mercy. Woo! Thanks be to God. Don't read the rest of it. One more time. Start from the top. Thanks be to God through
Jesus
our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself, with my mind, I'm serving the law of God. But on the other hand, with my flesh,
the law
There's this warring inside of me. I want to follow Jesus and serve him with everything I got. Lord, have mercy. But in the midst of me trying to follow Jesus, walk in the Spirit, the enemy brings something back up that he knows I like. Is it just me? That's not a lot of y'all. Let me ask it again. All campuses. Is it just me? Okay, all right. Some of y'all are like, yes, it's you alone. You may be seated. Who before what? Say that twice again. Who before, last time, who before? We're in a sermon series where we're talking about decision making and how to make great decisions. How to make God-honoring decisions. What we've said so far is that your submission must precede your direction. We said, trust in the Lord. Finish it with me, everybody, all campuses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, number one. Number two, lean not on your own understanding. Number three, in all your ways. Stop right there. In all your paths, parenting, in your singlehood, in your married life, in your financial life, in your physical life, in all your ways, professional life, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. In all your ways, in your partying ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways. And he said, if you do those three, that's submission, then he will make the path clear which one you need to take. So whenever you don't know where to go, you got to look back and see if you submitted. Because it usually means you're not submitted, which is why you don't know where to go. Then we suggested the main thesis in sermon number two was just beyond your giant is your destiny. But you got to go through the giant to get to your destiny. And here's what we said. This was the main thesis then. If you don't kill it, finish it with me. My God. And then the week after that, we talked a little bit about this idea of God's sovereign law, will, and then God's moral will, and then his non-moral will. And then we talked about the heart. And we suggested to you that the heart is wicked, so don't follow it. To which some of you say, my heart's good. And we suggested that if you're not careful, what's going to happen is because the heart's not dishonest, if it was dishonest, you could see it and you could label it and you would say, I'm not doing that. But because it's deceitful, you're not going to know you have been deceived until you're way too far in. The hook is in your mouth. You have gotten caught. And now devastation and regret will be the order of the day. Which is why we suggested that you've got to be careful with this thing called your heart, because we are very good, men and women, at selling ourselves on foolishness. We will come up with the greatest reasons in the world why you should do this. And then because you have such weak accountability around you, they just want to tell you what you want to hear so you can feel good, because after all, their goal is your happiness, just like your goal is your own happiness, which is the furthest thing from the Bible. But yet still, you love every song that talks about you being happy. That's why you must be careful what you listen to. Because it will set up an expectation. Listen, please. It will set up an expectation of God that he never had for you. Which is why God says, here's what I want for you. I want you to love me more than everything else. Can you do that? I don't want you to love what I can give you. I want you to love me more than everything else. And yet still, some of us don't like that. That is why God's interested in his glory more than he is in your happiness. And you ought to live with that reality. That's the truth. That's a fact. So don't make decisions based on what makes you happy. Oh, it's going to get better. Don't worry. You'll sit back and listen for a little while. So let's get to new material today. 92% of you that made New Year's resolutions will never achieve them this year. Listen to how high that is. 92. That means only 8% will accomplish what they set out to do this year. Only 8%. Here's why. Because successful people do consistently what everybody else only do occasionally. There it is. Successful people, they do something extraordinarily consistently that everybody else only do it when it's convenient for them. So I want to start out with a story of Daniel. And I want to use that as our launching pad to show you something pretty unique. I want you to go to Daniel chapter 6, and I want to pick it up in verse 3, and I want to show you a little bit of why we get there. So the text says, then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed, here we go, an extraordinary spirit, and the king, listen, planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. That's what everybody wants, right? Everybody wants the what? Everybody wants the promotion. Everybody wants bigger and better. Everybody wants, look at me now. Everybody wants, don't you wish you could be me? Everybody wants that. But very few people want to do the thing Daniel had to do to get there. You see, most of us mistakenly think, oh, I just need to have the what goals. Here's what I want to accomplish. This is what I want to accomplish this year. I want to lose 20 pounds. I want to gain $5,000 this year. You come up with all the what goals, but the issue is not the what. First of all, the issue is how you're going to get there. Because you shouldn't have what goals, you should have how you're going to get their goals. Watch Daniel. Go to verse number 4. Watch Daniel. Verse number 4 says, then the commissioners and the satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs. But they could find no ground of accusation or evidence or corruption. None? You can't find nothing about my boy D. Not a thing. Here's what they had to do. Insomuch as he was faithful, and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. You mean you followed him everywhere? You tapped his phone. You looked at his iPad. You looked at everything, and you couldn't find no flaw. None. How do you get there? That's the question. Don't focus on the end. Focus on what are the habits? What are the tendencies? What does he do regularly to get there? Go all the way to verse 10. That therein lies the key to this whole concept that I'm showing you. Verse 10. Here's what it says. Read it with me now, slowly. Now when Daniel knew that he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem. Hold on, stop right there. You know the story. So they set him a trap. They said, hey, king, you signed this decree. Anybody else who worship anything else except your name, then they should be thrown in the lion's den. That's the story. Now, here's what I would have done and you would have done too. You just said, okay, I got it. Today, I'm not going to open my doors. I'm still going to pray, but I ain't going to open my doors. Today, I'm going to go in my closet, my inner closet, where ain't nobody can see me. And I'm still going to honor God and still try to make sure they don't see me. Not Daniel. Watch the text. He continues. Read it. And he, come on, that's not everybody. Everybody together. And he, kneeling on his three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had. What's the system that got him to the top? What's the system? Because most of us focus on the what. We're not focused on the how. Most of us focus on, how do I get there? We're not focused on, what's the system that will get me there? Most of us focus on, I just hate my job. That's why you'll never get there. Because you need a system that will say, it doesn't matter what they do around me, I'm going to keep doing what God's called me to do, regardless of the environment that I'm in. So the reason you can't get to run the company is because you're complaining with the little assignment you got. Instead of proving to everybody else, you don't need me in this. I'm so underutilized right here. You need to move me up. But I'm not complaining about my situation because executives at the top don't get to complain about their situation. They get to fix it. Somebody else would say to me, Pastor, you don't get it. I wanna save some money, and I can't save some money. I'm saying, hey, I know why you can't save no money. I can tell you why. You know why? Because Every millionaire out there, unless they got money given to them through inheritance and stuff, but most of them, you know how they got there? Through their income. They just didn't want to give anybody their income except themselves. That's their system. You didn't even know that. Their system is, Ain't nobody getting my, when I get paid, ain't nobody getting my income. Here's what I'm finna do with it. I'm gonna honor God with it, and then I'm not giving it. You know what you do with your income? You buy a $500 a month car. You gave it to the dealership. That's what you did with your income. No, if you had saved that $500, drive the little old car that ain't nobody would have cared about that you're still driving, but you think you need to have the upgraded whatever, so that's what you're driving now. Here's the issue. So because you gave them $500, if you had put that $500 away for the next 20 years, you'd have probably had $2.5 million. But you ain't, because you care about impressing somebody who don't care about you. You want the what? Let me drive the fancy car. And you're giving away your income. Listen to me, listen. That's why if you're a 22-year-old and your parents still want you in their house, stay. By the way, if you're 40 and you're still in there, leave. Can I get a witness, somebody? Listen, come here. You little independent, I want to be free. I'm 21 and I want to be free. You're unwise. Stay in that house and save every dime you can save and keep your own money, and you determine where that money goes. Do not go give it to get a fancier car. Do not go give it to some renter to go rent some house when your mama and your daddy would put you up for free. In the name of Jesus. I'm trying to help somebody. And you should charge them something, mommy and daddy. I'm going to give you a key. I hope they're not listening. Charge them something. This is what my wife's dad did for her, for real. Charge her for 3 years. And then at her wedding, he gave it to her all back. That's wisdom right there. Ain't nothing free. I'm finna bless you, but you should know that I'm going to bless you. Give me the money. Give it to me. Let me save it for you on your behalf, because you are nothing but a fool right now. Don't focus on the what? Focus on the system. Amen. Save as much money as you can. You give your money away too much. What you want to run into a house so quickly for? You don't need the house right now. Stay there. Stay in the little apartment. Get the cheapest one you can find. Give it away for now and save. I'm trying to help somebody. I promise you. You determine where your income go. Quit giving it away to everybody else. Preach, Pastor. I'm trying to help somebody in the name of Jesus. Daniel had a system. Go to your sermon notes now. Here we go. So what was Daniel's system? Here it was. Here's his rhythm that caused him to be where he is today. Watch it. Number one, he had a place to pray. You have a place to pray? He had a place where he didn't have to worry about where he was going to go. The chair looked at him and said, "You come in today?" Because he had a place. Number two, not only did he have a place, he also had a period. He had a time, 3 times a day. I'm going to do this 3 times a day. I'm going to pray to God because I want to have a healthy relationship with God. So I'm going to make that my priority. Number three, then he said he had a posture to pray. He was on his knees, heads down before God. He knew exactly. He didn't have to guess in the moment. It was already determined what was important and what needed to be done. Number four, not only did he have a place, a period, a posture, he had a position. He was praying toward Jerusalem. He positioned himself so he'd be looking to the place where the presence of God was. Now, today, the presence of God is in us, but back then, the presence of God was toward Jerusalem, which is why he prayed then. And then lastly, he had a purpose of why he was praying. He was giving thanks and he was asking God. No wonder he wasn't afraid of the lion's den. Because when you hang out with God like that, and when you see God move the way he has moved to take you from a nobody in a foreign land all the way up to running the whole deal, you don't worry about it, because only God could have done that. So God, here's what he said. So God, if you take me in that lion's den, no problem. If they kill me, I'm going to be with you. But if they don't kill me, you're going to save the king, which you could not have saved any other way unless he saw a miracle like that. So he's saying, "Hey man, here's what you need to know. Don't look at my promotion. Look at what I did every day." Yes. Say it another way. Don't look at my promotion. Look at what I was doing when nobody else was looking. Don't look at how I got to the governor of the land. Look at the little bitty thing that by itself meant nothing. But every single day, 3 times a day, meant I now had confidence in God like I would not have had hadn't I spent the time with him. What you doing every day? What is the small thing that you're doing every day that everybody think, oh, you're just wasting your time. There go you on that church thing again. You on that God thing again. What you every single day. That's what Daniel said. That's the point of the story. It's who, not what. In this case, the first movement, it was not the what, it was the how. What did Daniel do consistently? He spent time with God. See, most of us have this question right here. Most of us asking this question right here. Most of us saying, what's the what? What do I want to achieve? Freedom from some addictive behavior. What do I want to achieve? I want to achieve success on my job. And you focus here. That's the wrong place to focus. You ought to ask the more important question as to hey, why do I need to get there? I want to know, what am I doing regularly? What am I doing regularly to get there? You thought it was going to drop, didn't you? I thought so too. Praise the Lord. Here we go. 40% of what we do daily, listen, 40% of what we do daily isn't the result of our conscious choices, but daily habits that we do. 40% of what you do. We have thousands and thousands of decisions we make every single day. 40% of them is just habitual. You don't even realize. You just do. You can change it, but you just do it because that's what you've always done. It is those decisions that I'm teeing up today. It is those daily, every morning you make a decision. Pray or Instagram. Every morning, brush your teeth, don't brush your teeth. Take a shower, don't take a shower. Every morning, do I go dwell with God or not dwell with God? What am I doing? Every morning, you make 1,000 decisions, thousands of decisions daily without realizing it. I want to address those decisions. Go to your sermon notes. Here we go. No, here are three reasons why we don't achieve what we set out to achieve when we start the year. Number one, we focus on the what, but we don't understand the how. We focus on the, say it with me, what, but we don't understand the. You focus on what you want to get, you don't understand how you get there. And the way you get there is with a system. You show me your system and I'll tell you if you're going to get to where the goal that you want. This happens in leadership, it happens in life, it happens in, okay, working out. Okay. I want to lose 20 pounds. Praise the Lord, I'm so proud of you. So he said, good, I've done this one myself. So I said, I'm going to work out every day. This was 2018. I'm going to work out every single day. 5 days a week is what I'm going to work out. So I started working out every single day. Now look at here. You can work out all you want. If you ain't eating the right thing, you working. Listen. Your system flawed. You'll never get to your goal because you don't have the right system. You can't say you eating at 11, but you're working out every day. Because if you eat at 11, you're going to pack on everything you worked off. Your system will determine whether or not you're going to get there. So the challenge then is, you show me the results you want, and I'll show you the system you have. Because everybody has a system. You just got the wrong one, which is why you're not getting to your goal. Which means don't change the goal, change the system. Because if you don't change the system, please listen to me. Nothing is moving toward your goal. So the challenge is, whatever the issue is that you're facing right now, what is it? And let's go there. Students. So let's talk about students for a moment. You want to graduate summa cum laude. Is that what you want? For real? That's what you want? Then show me your system. You can't say you're going to party every day, act a plum fool every day, and 2 hours before the test, try to cram for it. The system ain't going to get you there. The people who graduate summa cum laude, they ain't going to every party. They ain't hanging out with fools. They're not trying to impress everybody else. They're in their books trying to get it done, and they're working when everybody else is sleeping. That's how you get there. Listen up, students. That's what you get there. And then, you have the audacity to tell me, I don't want graduate super. I just want to graduate. I don't care what I get. I just want to graduate. No, you got another issue, which we're going to talk about in a minute. Because you don't know who God has called you to be. That's why you have such a nonchalant attitude, because you don't know who God's called you to be, and you don't know the dream he has for you. That's why you'll waste your time today. Say, I don't need to graduate like that. I just need to get by. All right, number two. So one is they don't understand the how. Right, so every NFL team, everyone starts out talking about I'm gonna win the championship this year. Everybody start out that way. You know why everybody not well? You know why the you know why the boys ain't holding it up? Cause they don't have the system. If they had the system, then they'd hold it up. They don't have the leadership they need. They don't have. I should stop right there. Let's move on. Number two. Number two. We don't see progress fast enough. So you have a habit and you start praying through. You want to be godly. You say, I'm gonna love God with all my heart this year. I'm gonna make sure God's my priorities this year. And then you start every day, you're dwelling with the Lord. Every day you're reading, draw the circle, you have your chair and you're listening to the words of Jesus. You're doing it all. And you'll be like, why all hell breaking loose right now when I'm trying to do the right thing? Then you say, maybe this ain't worth it. Then you say, you know what? I was doing better when I was wilding out. Might as well I go wild out. Listen. That's not what Daniel did. He did it regardless of the storms that he was in. Because it is what you do repeatedly over and over and over and over and over that compounds over time to get you where you want to go. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm begging you to get this one. It is huge. It is not the what. It is the how first, and then I'm going to move to the who, because it's always who before, come on somebody, it's always who before, I'm going to say it 100 times before we're done, so here we go. They don't see progress fast enough, and because they don't see small bad decisions, you argue, don't matter that much. It's a lie. Small decisions don't matter that much. It's a lie. I want you to watch. This is not a real frog. See? It's not real. Don't send me no emails. Don't send me no note. I ain't killing nothing. It's not real. I know some of y'all dying to send me some. Can't believe you did that to the good old frog. What did the frog do to you? The frog loved Jesus too. It's a fake frog, okay? Now, the reason... that frog's going to stay there, and he's not going to, a bad decision. He's not going to realize how bad the decision is until it's too late. Bad decisions over time. He said, when I did it, I slipped up one time. Nothing happened. God didn't zap me. Okay. Let's try it again. He didn't zap me. Okay, let's try it again. Then you get spiritual. Your grace is enough. Am I lying? Don't we do this all the time? Small, okay. Let me get real, real with you. Really, really real. You take your computer out. You're looking at something you shouldn't look at. Oh, wow. Huh. Whoa. Click, click. I did it one time. The next time. Look at the frog. I'm just looking at this dress. Interesting dress. Huh. Wow. Remember that last site you went to? I wonder if anything has changed. Look at me, right? Nothing happened. You didn't get zapped. You didn't get found out. So now you say, it's not that bad. Oh, it's getting hotter. I didn't test this, by the way, so if it melts in there, it's not my fault. Let me just stop it, because I don't know what the heck's going to happen. I'm sorry, Froggy. But here's what happens to you. Without even knowing it, here's what you do next. Fellas, I'll talk to you first. Now, you can't even walk straight with your wife because you've gotten so used to looking at women up and down. So now you're walking and somebody walk by you be like, and she hits you in the back of the head. Watch it, wives. And now you're becoming so used to it, wives, that you don't think it's that bad anymore. That's because you've been sitting in the water way too long. And you don't even think it's that. Now you tell your brain to come up with reasons why it's not that bad. Can you talk about this in church? Do you see what I'm saying? And before you know it, it moves from something on the screen to now you see somebody and you can't take your eye off of them in real life. Now it's not enough to be on a screen. You got to go find somebody to satisfy your fantasies. Do you see how we get there? Y'all be like, are we talking about this in church? This is inappropriate. It's very appropriate. That's a lie from the devil.
Amen.
Listen, I shouldn't even tell you this, but I'm gonna tell you. More than 85% of guys struggle with this. Look around you. Yeah, that's because we've normalized it. Your goal is not, I'm not going to do this anymore. What's your system? What will make sure you don't? That's one level. You're going to go to one more. And that is, who the heck are you? Because it is the who you are that will determine your system, that will determine whether you keep looking. Can I get a witness, one family? Everybody clap, because somebody don't want to clap, because then they're going to think that I used to look. So everybody clap. Yay! Yeah, Lord. Yeah, Lord. Number three. Watch this now. Or distorted identity sabotages our success. So now you've looked so long, you believe that's who you are. So you're looking in a mirror that's shattered. It's not the real you. But you have so bought into who you have become, you think you can't change. So now you think you got, because the enemy has so deceived you that his hook is in you, now you think you got to do what was at first a glance that's now become a whole industry for you. So now you think, that's who I am. I can't do it. I have to do it. I don't have a choice. What do I do? And really, it's highlighting something else in your life that's not there, but you don't want to address the real issue. You just stand, this is who I am. It's a distorted view. It's not who God's called you to be. And so now the enemy, listen, attaches your failures to who you are. And now they're linked. So now you believe the lie that you have to do this, or you have to spend the money, or you have to... Flossing. The doctor tells you, hey man, you're either going to lose all your teeth or you need to floss every night. But you don't like flossing. So you're like, it hurts a little bit, and then there's blood, and so I'm not going for it. Okay, no problem. Next year, you go back to the dentist. The dentist says, hey, I got 4 more root canals. So now you'll be like, oh, Lord, what do I need to do? I told you the last 3 years. You. But I don't like it. What's your system for the goal of healthy teeth? Ain't nobody looking at you. Yes. But in a moment, if you don't quit and start flossing, you ain't going to have no teeth. And now you're going to stop. Let me stop. Come on. Most people create do goals. I want you to create who goals. Most people create do goals. What I want you to create is who goals. Because your identity drives, that is your belief system. It drives your decisions, which then determines your actions. But if you have the wrong identity or you don't see yourself the way God sees you, then you will make decisions that are not in concert with who God's called you to be. Turn the page over. Look at this circle. And then I'm going to try and land the plane as quickly as I can. This is so important, y'all. This really, really is. I need you to get this one, family. Here's what it says. Do not miss this. Please don't. Your identity is what you believe, what you think about yourself. Listen. Then number two, your process or your system is what you do repeatedly. And then the last one is your outcome, which is what you are. Listen, 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 listen. What you think about yourself, that's why the Bible says that you should daily renew your mind, Romans chapter 12. You have to renew your mind with the thinking of God about who you are. And that will drive, please listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, it will drive your process. Because of who you are, then you'll come up with a system that will get you the desired results that you need. Daniel said, I want to be a godly man. If I'm going to be a godly man, that's who God's called me to be. That's who he has wired me to be. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. This is who I am. This is who God's called me to be. Therefore, I'm not going to eat your food. I'm not going to do what you do. Because my God says I can't do that. I want to honor my God. That's who I am. So I'm not going to eat your food. But at the end of it, I want to look better than all of y'all look put together. And so he did that. Then he says, I need to do this three times a day. This prayer thing three times a day. That's my system. I'm going to pray three times a day. I'm not going to bow to what these other gods want me to do. And then you have the outcome. He got to the top of the head of the government in Babylon. It's his who that determined his system, which then determined the outcome. Ladies and gentlemen, quit setting these goals about, I want to do this, this is what I want to get done, and come up with the system that will lead you there. Can I get a witness, family? This is a big deal. Let me now run it down about four different areas before I go. I want to stop smoking. Why do you want to stop? Go back to who you are. Because your temple, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And he says that's not good for you. So then, listen, listen, listen. So vaping don't change that. You need a system that stops that. Now, if you don't have the system, then you're going to keep mustering up energy, like Romans chapter 7 says. I want to do the thing I'm doing the thing that I don't want to do. Here's why you're doing it: because you don't know who you are. If you know who you are and you know the Spirit of God that's inside of you that will empower you to do the right thing, then you'll come up with a system that then will lead you there. This is a big deal, not a little deal. Number two, watch this one. Same concept. I want to be a good parent. I want to parent my kids well. So that means you can't just give them experiences. What they want is relationship. I don't care how much money you have. You turned out okay and you didn't have all the experiences that you're giving them. What they want is your presence. So what's your system to make sure that you are present? Yelling at them on the way to work, on the way to church, or on the way to school, or wherever, yelling at them is not the system that will get you to have a kid. Listen, here's one of the goals of parenting, to have a kid that wants to come back and hang out with you. Listen, listen, they want to come back and hang out with you without you having to call them to come over. Oh, y'all know some of y'all got parents, you'll be like, listen, don't call me, I'll call you. And some of you feel guilty, which is the only reason why you go. But it's not a joy. Mom and Dad, I can't wait to hang out with you. Mom, I can't wait to hang out with you. That's because, listen, 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 of the system they used. So you must ask, what's my, say it with me, system? But that's only birthed out of who God's calling you to be. It's a shift that you must make in your own life. Let me do a couple more before I'm done. Here we go. You wanna be healthy, so don't go run the marathon. Run the marathon, that's fine. Here's the problem with running the marathon. That's the goal. When the marathon is done and you did it, okay, what's up? No, the goal is God's called me to be healthy because he wants me to take care of his temple so I can live as long as he wants me to live so I can bring him glory. Therefore, I need a system. That system is I need to be making sure I am dieting well and I am exercising well on a consistent basis when nobody's looking. That's what I'm doing. When it's not popular, that's what I'm doing so that I can get to the outcome of a healthy lifestyle. That's what I'm trying to get done. You say you want a healthy marriage. Well, if you want a healthy marriage, then you got to ask and say to God, God, you have declared to me that I must love this woman with all my heart. I must serve her. I exist to make sure that her life is better because of the fact that you've asked me to lead her. Okay, well, if that's what you want, then you must have a system. Which is why when you did the solemn assembly, you talked to her more than you've ever talked to her because you didn't have nothing to do after three, but talk to her. Then why you don't continue it? That's a system. Now you don't talk together, you don't connect together, then there's no intimacy. That's for adults only. Let's move on. You want to be pure as a single. That's a system. Who's God calling you to be? Purity leads to clarity. Say it with me. Purity leads to clarity. That's who God's called you to be, to remain pure. So since that's who you are, then you have to have a system that supports that. So therefore, you got to watch what you watch because it will stir things up that will make you want stuff you shouldn't want. Now you've got to study the word of God. Now you got to walk with people and run with people that thinks like you think and don't lower your standard because they care more about their flesh than they do about God. But you got to have a system that supports that. And if you don't have women and men that are running with you that believe like the Bible does, then no wonder you fall prey to whoever shows up. You got to have a system that supports it. So if you're running and you're running for God hard and you're running and you're saying, God, I want to be pure in this area because you're asking me to be pure. Don't tell me you're going to do what everybody else says it can be done. Don't tell me that, well, every guy I date, he says if you're not going to sleep with me, then he don't want to date me. So then nobody wants to date me. You don't want to date him anyways. Because if that's how he thinks, then he's not thinking like God wants him to think. So if you marry him, don't you dare later on come tell me, look at what he did. You knew it before you married him. Amen. A young college student came to me sometime this week and she said, Pastor, I've got a question. I said, please, fire away. I mean, budding college, leader of all leaders, great. I said, yeah, what's up? Pastor, I don't get this married thing. I said, what do you mean? She says, well, don't the Bible say you can't get a divorce? Then why everybody getting a divorce? I said, well, you know, the Bible says that, yeah, God wants you, God when no, let no man put asunder, and that God wants you to stay together. And if, you know, there's infidelity, and you don't have to, but it's an option because you're tough-headed, but his desire is for you to stay together, pick the right person in the first place. I wouldn't do that to you. And then She said, I know, but everybody don't believe that. And I'm in Bible school, and I'm trying to live this out, and I'm considering marriage, but everybody just think it's a joke, and you get married when you want, and you get out. And then she said, and Pastor, this remarried thing, how come they get remarried? Because the Bible says if you get divorced for the wrong reason, then you can't get remarried. Why is everybody getting remarried when they're getting divorced for the wrong reasons? And then she asked me the ultimate question, and I wanted to slap her, but I didn't. I did. I'm confessing, she said. So, Pastor, do you remarry people when they got divorced for the wrong reasons? I said, girl, you better go back to school and leave me alone. Ain't that a great question, y'all? Ain't that a great question? I said, go ask your professors and then tell me what they say and then come back and tell me. That's going to be the number one question on the text line today. Well, do you? Ask. You'll see. I'll tell you individually, depending on your life. Let's move on. You say you want to have a godly life. Well, if you want to have a godly life and you want to live that way, then you have to be in the Word of God. Then you have to communicate with Him because intimacy is only achieved with time, unhurried time spent together. So don't say you want to be godly, but you don't spend time in the Word. You're lying to yourself. Don't say you want to be godly and live a godly life and you don't spend time praying with God. You don't have your own dwelling place. If you don't dwell with God, then you don't want to take God seriously. Don't say you want to have a relationship with God, but the people around you don't want to have it. You want to be healthy with your relationship with God, but the people around you, everybody around you don't want to do that. Come on now, tell the truth. Turn the page over. Turn the page over. Let's see if we can get to this. You do not rise to the level of your goals. You fall to the level of your system. Here we go. What's the challenge? The challenge is that the problem isn't you. Number two, the problem is your system. You have a wrong system, which is why you're achieving what you're achieving. The system that you currently have will not achieve the goals that you want. The problem is not you. The problem is your system. Number three, in light of that then, the old you will try to sabotage your plans for change. The old you, the one you look at in the mirror, the who God, who Satan wants you to be, your old self, it will continue forever to sabotage what God wants to do in your life. Which is why it's so important for you to know who you are, which is why we're giving you these declarations. So as you go out today, you won't get one, because we need you to realize who you are so that it won't sabotage the plans God has for you. Next one. It's hard to change your habits if you don't change your underlying beliefs. You believe, many of you do, that you can't do what God's calling you to do. That's why you never do it. And so how do we turn this around? What's the healthy decision-making process? Number one, which it says, decide the kind of person you want to be. Decide the kind of person that God's calling you to be. That's why you read these declarations that are being read over your life, because it's who God is calling you to be, and you walk in that, and you tell yourself that every single day, so you're renewing your mind every single day. Number two says, you prove it to yourself with small wins. Listen, don't miss this. Every time you take a step, you have a cross in the road, and you take a step with the right decision that confirms your identity in Christ. Every time you take that step, you're making a vote of affirmation about who God's calling you to be. Every time you take the step, let me use since I have this here, let me use this. Every time you take the step and you say, ooh, I could go, but that's not who I am. That's not who God's calling me to be. So I'm gonna put this to the side, and I'm gonna take the step to walk in who God's calling me to do. Every time you do that, you just made a vote. You just showed the evidence of who God's calling you to be. Every time you make a step in the wrong direction and you go over here, and now you start looking, you're reminding yourself of who the devil is calling you to be. God's calling you to be who he has designed you to be. So when the screen is on, you're saying, I'm looking, which is not who he's called to be. When it's off, now you're saying, God, I'm walking in who you have called me to be. I'm going to say this in the third service, but for some reason, I think I need to say it here, since there's somebody in here. When that girl comes over to your house, mister, and she shouldn't be there, you need to read your man declarations, and you need to leave the house before she shows up. And you need to say, you can go to the house anyway, but I ain't going to be there, because this is who God's calling me to be. Huh? Mister, when you go out on the road and you're away from your family for 4 days, Monday through Thursday, remember, that's not who God's calling you to be. I know you're working hard to provide for the family, but don't make that small decision that will disrupt everything, because you decided it was better for me to be who the enemy wants me to be and not who God wants me to be. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm asking you, it's your system. It's your system. Number three, it's what says, the behavior change is identity change. You have to realize who God's calling you to be. See, watch this, everybody. Watch this. See, everybody wants to be, hey, Froggy, you all right? He look all right. He didn't. All right. Everybody wants this last domino right here. This one. So if this is the one that, let's say that's the one nobody can see. Everybody wants this one. This is what I want to be. This is what I want to do. This is what right here, what I'm called to do. This is what God wants me to do. Come on, God, give me what I want now. You can pray, you can fast, you can plead, you can go to your knees. But if you have the wrong system, you'll never get there. You can pray all you want. You can fast all you want. Some of you have been doing it for the last 8 years. Fasting, gimme, gimme, gimme. But your system is not preparing you for that. See, your system is the one nobody can see. You're just doing what, no, you can't even, most of you can see it, but y'all can't see this one right here. You can't see it because it's what you do when nobody's looking that gives you the trajectory to hit every last one of them down so you can get to what God's calling you to do. But it starts with who are you becoming? It's always who before what. Say it with me twice. It's always before, last time. It's always before. So I want you to go and come up with what's the one thing I must do to get this thing started so that I can get to where God wants me to go? What's that one thing? And you put your knees down and you say, God, I don't care about the environment. I'm going to do this one thing. And then watch him take you to where he wants you to be. But the only way you get there is if you do the one thing. Heavenly Father, in an environment where Christians love to plead the grace of God, which we are grateful for, will you help me? Will you help every last one of us not focus on the what, not even focus first on the how, but help us to focus on the who? Who are we becoming? You've called us to be somebody. Will you help us to walk in that, God? Please? And when we do, will you then help us to have the system that will get us to where you want us to go? We're grateful, God, that you love us enough and that your grace is enough. Help us to renew our minds so that we can live out who you've called us to be. We pray in Jesus' name. I want all the campuses now of your campus to read the declarations yourself. I'm going to do it in Plano, and all the campuses, I want you to read it yourself, and then men first and then women, and then you can dismiss after that. So men, will you rise? And I want you to look at the screen. All the men, and I want you to remind yourself of who you are in Jesus Christ. So all the men in the house, I want you to look. This is part of the declarations you're going to get when you go outside, but I want you to read it. Men, only the men in the house, I want you to read this real loud. Here we go. Number one, I am. Stop. Men, no. This is a declaration. This ain't a secret. This is a declaration. You saying this over yourself every single day. Come on, fellas. I am of the King of all kings. Jesus is I exist to serve and glorify him. I am disciplined. Christ in me is stronger than the wrong desire in me. Next one. I love my wife and will lay down my life to serve her. I'm not defined by my failures or stop right there. I need you to hear this one more time. I am not defined by my
failures.
Stop. I am not defined by my success. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care what you got. That don't define you. Who defines you is who God's called you to be. Not your failures, not your successes. On either side of that. Last one. There's tons more, but this is all I'm going to make you read now. Read. I am a
warrior.
I stand firm even when the pain is crippling because God is my strength. One more time. I am a warrior. I stand firm even when the pain is crippling because God is my strength. Come on, man of God, put your hands together. You got about 25 of them, man. You got about 25 of them. Now, ladies, if you want to blow his socks off, you hold his face right in your hand and you declare that over your man, and I promise you he ain't going to work that day. I promise you. Sit down, man. Ladies, your turn. Stand up. Come on, ladies. Come on. Here we go, ladies. As loud as you can, declare this over your life. I don't care what your daddy said. I don't care what your last, the dude that just turned you away and said he don't want to date you no more. I don't care what your boss says. Here's what God says about you. Here we go. I am. Man, you don't even know when to shout. Shout right there, man. Glory to God. Glory to God. Relatives, let's read that one. See, the person that's doing this must be a female. They don't want us to say that again. Say it again. Say it again. Here we go. I will. Okay, all right. That's too much. You done gone too far. You done gone too far. Stay right there. All right, come on. Let's go. I love my. Ooh, that just sounds good. One more time. Through Christ,
I am strong, gentle, fierce, and compassionate. Because of Jesus, I lack nothing.
Jesus. Come on, ladies. You may be seated. Do not forget the why of this. We're not doing this just for fun. We're doing it because it's the truth about who you are, and it is your turn and my turn to walk in the truth. It is who before what? Two more times. It is who before, last time, it is before. It is who that will determine your system that will get the desired results that you want. We're going to dismiss in a moment. If you want somebody to pray with you, then don't just slip out, please. Will you come forward and let one of these men or women pray with you? If you want to talk about Jesus, don't just slip out. Just come on down. Let's do that. If you want to just pray about a massive decision that you have, then will you? Don't just slip out. Just come on down. We'd love to pray with you. Remember, men, we meet on Wednesday. And then everybody here, if you're a leader, I'm just telling you, a conference like we're going to have this coming weekend, that's going to cost us a lot of money that we do and you do to bless churches all over this country. By the way, I want you to put your, hold on, don't clap yet. I want you to put your hands together because you are making an investment in churches all around this country where people are leaving churches in droves. They're being added to our church. That is the favor of God. And I want you to thank God for the privilege of the influence that he's given us all across this country. Will you help me give God a round of applause for that? Yeah. So if you really want to be invested in your own leadership development, then you don't want to miss. You don't want to miss Thursday. You don't want to miss Friday. It is worth the day off to be poured into for 3 days. By the way, there's always a surprise, always, that I ain't telling you about. Because a surprise shouldn't inspire you. Surprise don't inspire leaders. Leaders do whatever it takes to get them equipped to pull off what God's called them to do. So that's what I'll do. There's always a surprise, though. We're done. Thanks for coming. See you. We're dismissed.
We stand in awe of you. Oh, yes, we do. We stand in awe.